97.1 FM Talk Podcast.
It is Second Amendment Radio and the great outdoors, somewhere out on the horizon. Carl Middleman came up with more great bump music. Good job.
Joe Walsh, Warriors.
Bo Matthews, how are you?
I twitch every time I hear the Eagles.
First of all, it's not the Eagles. Don Henley will punch you. It's just Eagles.
Are you going to get that close to Don Henley?
Never.
He's pretentious.
No, I twitch because when I moved to Orlando, we lived in a condo before we bought our house. You know, it was a quick move. Everything happened so quickly. The guy next door, now I was doing mornings, and mad respect for you, Mark Cox. What time do you get up in the morning? Like 3?
3.
Okay,
yes.
That's not normal for a human being.
No, it's not.
And what time do you get up?
3:10.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, thank you.
And I get here before he does. I live closer than he does.
Does he steal your pillows or no?
Hey.
Anyway.
I'm closer to the door.
So we move into this apartment, and we're all excited. Morning show. Got to get up at 3 o'clock in the morning. Every single night, about 7 o'clock. The guy next door to us would, rock the whole building with Eagles music, and it was just Eagles all the time, and he would play it till midnight. I've got to get up at 3 o'clock in the morning.
It was Joe Walsh.
No, yeah, right. No, I'm not.
Were you a gun owner at that point? Because I would have had a serious conversation with that guy.
I was, but I was looking to grow the flock, if you will. And I didn't want to be hated in Orlando, because when you're on the radio, you don't want to be hated necessarily. Not all the time.
No, not all the time.
Anyway, so I got over that hump. It took me about 10 years, so I still enjoy it, but I still get a twitch every once in a while.
Like, cringe. Did you ever have a conversation with him to turn it down?
Never. He was a Vietnam vet. And I figured, this is his comfort zone. I'm not going to bother
you
that.
You are a better man than I.
I knew. Well, I was tired for 3 years. and again, I don't know how you guys do it, but mad respect.
Thank you.
Cold weekend. This wind blowing through here. And we got a late start to the cold weather.
Yeah, I went bird hunting last weekend. A buddy invited me. It was fantastic. Went out near Herman, and it was beautiful, right? And Wild Boar Creek Farms out there is
really?
Where we would go bird hunting. And they do a great job, by the way, if you're looking to set up a hunt. But it was that morning after it had snowed. It snowed that Friday or whatever, and then we went Sunday morning. So there was still snow all over the place. It was about 18 degrees. It was a cold morning.
Yeah.
But, of course, you're walking. You're getting a little bit of exercise. We walked all over that place. We had a great time.
And what birds were you after?
A pheasant.
Oh.
We were hunting pheasant.
And how'd you do?
13 or 14 of them.
Oh, get out of here.
Better than the deer.
They're more active. Of course, you're paying to have them set out, right?
Are you?
You have to. There are no wild birds. There are very few wild birds anymore.
Oh, Missouri. I had no idea.
Yeah. So Wild Boar Creek is one of those places like Wilnor down in Jefferson County where you can basically pay for a hunt.
Okay.
You pay per bird for them to take the birds out in a field where the corn's been mowed down to clumps. And then they set the birds out.
You still got to hit them.
And then you go down there, and then you're hunting with dogs who go on point, and the bird gets flushed up, and you've got to be able to shoot it. So,
well, how do they keep control of them to stay in the property?
They seek shelter. That's what they do. They take them out of the pen, and they stick them in there,
hunt.
And they hide.
I had no idea.
They don't want to be. Yeah, they hide. That's what they do. Yeah, so it works.
So
we had a great time.
Do you get to keep them?
You do.
And?
Yeah, whatever. You eat them?
Did you?
We haven't yet. We will.
Yeah. You know how to clean them? Easy peasy?
I do, but I have a friend who's much better at it. The guy, Joe, who owns the dogs, is excellent at that. So he usually cleans them, and then we get the meat afterwards.
Plus,
fantastic.
You're Mark freaking Cox.
Oh, stop.
he's going to be sitting in the truck in between shots.
I'm out there walking with everybody else, man. It's fantastic.
No, that's awesome.
It's a great walk in the field, and you get to. I love watching the dogs work. They're just beautiful.
They are amazing.
Yeah.
So, again, the place is called Wild Boar?
Wild Boar Creek is the one near Herman where we've gone, and they do continental shoots out there. They might have trap shooting too. I can't swear to that.
Probably, yeah.
But it's a farm owner, and he leases the right to hunt on area farms around there. And then it's fantastic. If you've never been out there, if you've never done it, you love bird hunting, it's a great place to go.
So you don't have to be a member.
No.
I love that. That's fantastic.
But if you don't have dogs, you generally have to hire a guide to go with you, because finding the birds without a dog is a challenge.
Sure,
you'd need a lot of people to flush everything up.
Interesting.
Yeah, it's
good stuff. You are the outdoors part of this show. You really are.
And you're the Second Amendment.
I love hunting. I do. I don't get to go often enough, cold weather.
We're both on the Second Amendment part of it. But we do have a great show for you coming up. We're going to talk Illinois a lot in the show. And I do want to point out that Carl was able to get a hard get, and that is Stephanie Tate from the Great Rivers and Routes Tourism Board or Bureau in Alton. We're going to talk to her about eagle watching, which is really, you know, people think, bird watching, really? It's actually magnificent to see live. And then we're going to talk to a politician over in Illinois about the Foyd card. We've got a lot of hard questions for him, I think.
Yeah, you know, that as a longtime supporter of the Second Amendment, a vocal supporter of the Second Amendment, I've never understood this FOID card. I think eventually a court's going to strike it down, because I don't understand how the Supreme Court can look at that and say your right to keep and bear arms shall not be infringed, yet allow the state of Illinois to infringe upon it by saying you have to come and get our permission before you can go exercise your constitutional right.
Yeah.
Where is that allowed anywhere? What if you had to get a...
Four states, Hawaii, Illinois, Massachusetts, and New Jersey.
How can that be? You don't have to get an FOID card for the First Amendment. Why do you have to get one for the Second Amendment? You would never have to do that.
Isn't it a money grab? I mean, I don't even know what it costs to get a Foyd card, but I'm so glad we live in Missouri. By the way, Illinoisans, we have houses for sale over here.
I want to thank Annie Fry for helping us get our next guest.
Yes, thank you, Annie.
She's over in Illinois. She's stuck over there.
Yeah. Illinois State Representative Blaine Wilhauer is going to join us with more on this. Main reason we're talking about it, there's some changes that are taking effect in 22. So if you're impacted by it, it in some ways it streamlines the process, but there's a method to their madness that we're going to talk to Blaine Wilhauer about, because you need to know what their ultimate goal was here.
All right. Power of suggestion. I saw on Facebook a buddy of mine, Stan, said, hey, you know what I'm going to do during the cold weather this weekend? I'm going to clean my guns. And I thought, you know what? That's a great idea. So if you're looking for something to do this weekend, clean your guns. Get familiar with them. Be safe. And then practice.
It's good for the guns,
a lot,
too.
And it's very good. Yeah, the guns love that. That's going to be my plan this weekend. I mean, I have a dental appointment, but other than that, I'm going to be holed up while you're out bird hunting or rhino hunting, whatever you do.
It may be too cold for that this weekend. I don't know. It's going to be pretty
chill. Go eagle watching with me.
Yeah.
How about some bourbon? That kind of warm your innards, wouldn't it?
We had some of that while we were bird hunting at the end.
Yeah. Make sure you say that part.
All right. Stick around. You listen to Second Amendment Radio in the Great Outdoors. Coming up, we'll talk about Illinois and their firearms owner ID card changes.
Let it run long enough, you think, and it was a music station, and it's not.
Oh, boom.
It's Second Amendment Radio in the Great Outdoors. Mark Cox, Bo Matthews here, Carl Middleman, our executive producer, getting all of our wonderful guests. This segment is brought to you by Razorback Armory. They are in De Pere on Manchester Road. They're right next to a tennis shop, and I mention that because you'll see the tennis sign before you see the gun store. But it's a great location, and they do a lot of high-end stuff. Looking for something really specific, or you want to get a suppressor, RazorbackArmory.com is where you will begin your journey and your relationship with a bunch of great guys. Tell them Bo sent you to Razorback Armory.
Well, glad you're back with us. This segment of Second Amendment Radio focusing on the Second Amendment right now. How about that? The great state of Illinois, where you have to have a card before you can get a concealed carry license to exercise your Second Amendment rights. It's called an FOID card. There's some changes coming to it now that we're into 2022, and we invited State Representative Blaine Wilhauer to join us to talk a little bit more about this from District 107. Sir, welcome into the show. How are you?
Hey, I'm doing pretty good. How about you?
I'm good to be here. Doing fine. So tell our listeners about District 107. What does it encompass in Illinois?
Yeah, we're kind of in South Central Illinois. I represent from cities like cities and small towns like Effingham, Centralia, Greenville, Salem, and Vandalia. Kind of just right in between. Just west of St. Louis by about 70 or 80 miles, basically, is I-70, I-57 corridor there. It's God's country. We love we love God, and we love guns, and we love our freedom.
I believe, correct me if I'm wrong, I covered this on my show one time, that if it wasn't Effingham proper, some of the cities over there declared themselves Second Amendment sanctuary cities, right?
Absolutely, yes. The Second Amendment sanctuary movement kind of started right there in Effingham County with Dave Campbell on the county board and Brian Kibler, the great state's attorney over there. So yeah, we're pretty serious about this stuff.
Mr. Willauer, question for you: how do you feel about a Northern Illinois and a Southern Illinois, like a North Dakota, South Dakota? Have you thought further on that?
Well, you know, there's got to be a good reason for Chicago to want to do that, and right now there's not a good reason for them to want to do that. They get our money. They completely have complete control over us, so there's no reason for them to do that. What we do need is we need a stronger opposition party in the state of Illinois that stands up for real issues and things that actual people actually care about, that would improve their quality of life and their freedoms. You know, it's an all-out assault here in the state of Illinois, both from a values perspective, from an economic perspective, and working class people, the kind of people that I represent, and probably the kind of people that are the vast majority of your listeners, paid a price for all of these bad policies that come through Illinois. So, you know, we need to focus on what we can actually change, and what we can change to elect better people, better Republicans to the legislature that actually stand for something and aren't afraid to go to the trenches on these tough issues.
Well, I don't know if you've ever listened to Second Amendment Radio on the Great Outdoors, but hearing your voice, I can tell. I'm judging a book by its cover.
Okay.
You seem like a good, God-loving, gun-toting American, and we're glad to have you on the program.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm a farm boy. I work construction for a living. I have a real job outside of the state legislature, and that's the kind of people that we need that we need more of.
100%.
I appreciate that.
Yep. And I'm judging a book by its cover, and they say you shouldn't do that. Tell me why Illinois has the FOID card.
Well, that's a really good question. We're one of, I think, four states that have it. You know, there's a contention of legislators in the state of Illinois, especially in the Chicago and the suburban area, that want to make it as burdensome as possible to own a firearm, and the FOID card is an excellent mechanism to make it burdensome to do that. You know, they don't believe that we need all of these guns. You know, I really think that, you know, they can't take obviously the Second Amendment is a constitutional right, and they can't just take that away, at least not yet. So they need to chip away at it. And, you know, like I said, make this ownership as burdensome as possible. And, you know, unfortunately, what we've seen, especially in the last 2 years, is there's too many people in today's society that will just roll over and take the path of least resistance. And they know that. So they're putting these regulations in place. And I've talked to some of these, especially these suburban legislators, and honestly, this is where most of this stuff comes from. Most of the crazy policies that we see both at a national level and a state level are coming from suburban people. They're not even necessarily coming from the inner city legislators, and I really think that there's a lack of critical thinking and a lot of times outright ignorance from a lot of these legislators on the important balance in our constitutional republic between the citizens and government. You know, our founders, they were geniuses. They knew that the citizens had to have legitimate checks on government. You know, the Constitution is not about protecting government; it's about protecting people from the government, from their overreach. And the Second Amendment is a big part of that delicate balance. And you know, a lot of these legislators, they'll tell you that, well, you know, you just don't need those firearms. You don't need those rifles. but they're really neglecting this balance of power, and too many of them just believe too much in government, and they'll blindly do whatever they want without question. Our founders knew that we had to have a skeptical eye about that, and that's what we're trying to do here. But you know, it's a lot of like everything in politics, it's not critically thought out.
Nope. Lack of critical thinking is a kind way of putting it. I appreciate that. I really do.
We're talking. Our society has been plagued with a lack of critical thought.
Yeah, it plagues Washington, too, for sure. We're talking to Illinois State Representative Blaine Wilhauer right now. The subject is the firearms owner ID cards in the state of Illinois. So, despite the fact that the Second Amendment says your right to keep and bear arms shall not be infringed, they infringe on it in Illinois by first requiring you to get the approval of the state through this card before you can then go take 16 hours of training to carry a concealed weapon or to have one at your house, right? Which just defies logic. I'm truly hopeful we're approaching a point where the United States Supreme Court is going to clear all this up. And I think when they do, the FOID cards are going to go away along with it. But in the meantime, you guys are undergoing some changes to the law this year, right?
Right. Yes. There's been a movement I've been in the legislature since 2019, and you know, this is one of the first issues that they dealt with. That they wanted to do mandatory fingerprinting for everybody who gets a FOID card. That actually passed the House in 2019. It died in the Senate, but it was brought back in a kind of a different form in the last legislative session. And what it's doing is making fingerprinting quote unquote optional, but you only get around the ridiculous bureaucracy, the ridiculous weight limits, and you only get an auto renewal on a FOID if you submit your fingerprints, which is obviously on its face completely ridiculous.
What's the reaction from the left if you said to them, okay, well, why don't we apply those same rules to voting?
Yeah, that's a really good point. And that's something that, as a freshman legislator, I actually argued on the floor of the House. I actually, our Attorney General, Kwame Raoul, was a senator a few years ago, and he actually made an argument on the Senate floor about voter ID. His argument was, you know, that the requiring an ID to vote disenfranchised too many people because, you know, obtaining a valid ID was, quote unquote, unduly burdensome. Yeah, this is the same woke leftists, including current Attorney General Raoul, that now use that exact same argument on requiring fingerprints in order for law-abiding citizens to exercise what's clearly a constitutional right. And they think that that's not unduly burdensome. You question them on the floor about that. They don't have a good answer because there's not a good answer. But unfortunately, nobody requires these people to, you know, give good, sound constitutional answers to the questions. It's hypocritical, but it's par for the course. And there's some really interesting stuff coming up on, you know, the Democrat Party across Illinois and across the nation are, quote unquote, wanting to expand voter access. And, you know, in Illinois, they've put a lot of auto renewal mechanisms or auto registration mechanisms in place. So, you know, almost all of them favor Democrat constituencies,
sure,
right?
Sure.
You know, if you file for certain types of welfare, you automatically are registered to vote. You file for unemployment, you're automatically registered to vote. Most of your interactions with the Secretary of State automatically registers you to vote. So we've taken this, and my buddy Mark Badnick, who is a suburban legislator from Plainfield, is actually proposing legislation in the state of Illinois. House Bill 4137, which is awesome. It's an automatic register to vote for anybody who applies for a FOID or a CCL.
Perfect.
You know, which makes complete sense, because these people that are getting FOID and CCL, they're background checked way more than these other mechanisms. And it's important to note that there's over 2 million legal firearm owners in Illinois, and that's a heck of a voter block. You know,
sure,
and it's it's time that these people mobilize.
Well,
that's enough to win a governor's race.
Since we're talking about that, though, I mean, these ideas that we think, oh my goodness, I can't believe they would even put that out there. To me, I think it's just planting seeds now for what could come in 5 years or 10 years. Just a couple of weeks ago in the parliament in the UK, they talked about vax to vote. That you would have to get a vaccination to be able to vote. And that shocked me. And I thought, well, it probably won't fly, but it's been introduced into the conversation, which is frightening that people are thinking like that.
Incrementalism.
The left plays the long game. They're really good at that. They fight for the things that they believe in, and they don't take no for an answer. And we need to start fighting back in the same types of ways. And I think that Batnick with this expanding voter access for our constituencies is kind of a step in the right direction. So I give him kudos for that, especially being a suburbanite.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. Representative, so the three of us in this room are not Illinois residents. I know a lot of people who are, Annie Fry and others, and I've talked to them about this extensively. I know people have introduced bills to get rid of the FOID card, but in effect, when I go into a licensed firearm dealership to buy a weapon, I get a federal background check done. I fill out the form, they run the background check on me, all of that stuff. How in the world can Illinois even justify? Is it just a way to raise money, or do they have a registry now of citizens that have guns? Is that why they've done this?
Well, I think that's ultimately what they're getting to. Like you alluded to before, they played a long game and they put these things in place. Clearly, they want a well-defined registry. They want your fingerprints in there. They want all this stuff. They don't like guns. I mean, at the end of the day, there's epidemic of violence in cities like Chicago and St. Louis and everywhere else. And, you know, it's completely out of control. And politicians have to act like they're doing stuff, and they don't want to deal with the actual real underlying issues on this. So, you know, just doing talking points on gun control from people like Lori Lightfoot and, you know, Kim Fox, who's one of the DA in St. Louis, escapes me, but she's one of the Soros funded ones, too. They're just doing that. There's around 20,000, I think, gun laws in the United States. The Gifford Center, I think, ranks Illinois near the top five and the most restrictive as far as the laws go. And in spite of that, there's way too much dangerous activity and violence. Clearly, the restrictions don't work, but they're a pretty darn good political talking point for people who don't think critically about things, and that's where it comes from.
You got to wonder, people that move into Illinois, unbeknownst to them, they may have moved in from Florida or wherever, and they don't even really know about the FOID card. That's why I'm really glad we're having this conversation. Now, what is the penalty in Illinois if you are caught with a firearm? And you're legally, you know, containing it, you've got it in your trunk or whatever the rules are in Illinois. What is the penalty for owning a firearm without the FOID card?
I'm not 100% sure off the top of my head whether that's a felony or a misdemeanor. Do you know what it is?
I don't. And I wonder if I'm sure there's a fine connected to it.
There definitely is. I would have to look. I know that a lot of the for the licensed dealers, if they're not keeping these records on private firearm transfers for 20 years or whatever, it's a class A misdemeanor on there, which is ridiculous.
Right. You know,
but
every Monday,
I would have to look up what exactly the penalty is. But in the state of Illinois, we don't like to do penalty enhancements for anybody but law abiding.
Hold on, we got some information.
I found it. The charge can result to 1 year in jail and a fine of $2,500.
$2,500. Yeah. Wow. You know, here's an idea. How about enforcing? You know, on Monday morning, usually here in St. Louis, we look at the killings happen over the weekend, right? And not that they don't happen Monday through Friday, but you know, it's usually a benchmark on Monday morning. Then we look at what's going on in Chicago. How about implementing that kind of fine? At least that, because a lot of times these criminals are just getting out right after it happens. What about implementing the law and order, and maybe making that more solid of a law to hold them to?
Absolutely, that's what we need to do. But in the state of Illinois, we're going in the opposite direction. They want to eliminate cash bail.
We have houses for sale over here, just saying.
right. They want to eliminate cash bail, which even the Marxist former mayor of New York City said was an absolute disaster over there. They want to do that here. It's ridiculous. But I've been on this gun violence prevention task force. It's one of these things that we do in the state of Illinois to act like we're dealing with issues without really dealing with issues. You start a task force, and we've had a few of these meetings up in Chicago, and they bring in professors and academics and great thinkers, you know, quote unquote, and all of these people from the ivory towers, they're advocating for more restrictions to gun ownerships, you know, more roadblocks in the way. But, you know, towards the end of one of those sessions, we actually brought in some people that were closer to the street, you know, the community support folks, the pastors, the parents of gun violence victims, you know, the people that have actually lived this stuff. And almost to a person, none of those people talked about more restrictions. They talked about the culture of violence, the broken families, the hopelessness, the addiction raging in the communities that lead people to violence. And the bottom line is you take away hope and opportunity, and this is what you get: the violence and the lawlessness that we experience in Illinois and, you know, St. Louis and some of these areas. They're just a symptom of generations of poor public policy that has literally destroyed opportunity in our rural areas that I represent and the inner city areas are just getting hammered.
Yeah, well stated. You know, I know Brendan Kelly because he used to obviously serve before he went to the ISP over here as a state's attorney in the Metro East. And, you know, I saw his quote on these FOID changes. While you're not rid of it, at least these changes streamline it to some degree, right? So that if you are a concealed carry holder, it doesn't just expire, because that used to be a problem.
Yeah, it does. It does streamline some of that stuff, but a lot of the stuff that is streamlining is contingent upon you providing your fingerprints.
Okay, yeah.
which is we've got a real problem with that.
Always a catch.
Right? I think we should have a problem with it. You know, it did some things for that, but for gun dealers and folks like that, it made the process much more burdensome to the point where your small guys are just out. They're not going to deal with it, and that's a shame.
Blaine Willhauer, keep up the great fight over there. We appreciate a strong conservative voice on this issue in Illinois. Lord knows we need one. Thank you.
Yep, thank you, sir.
Yep, great having you on. Illinois State Rep Blaine Willhauer there on some of the FOID changes.
See, we are a bipartisan show here. By-state show. Sorry.
By-state. Yeah, that P word in there. Thank you.
All right, we've got more for you coming up on Second Amendment Radio on The Great Outdoors. We're going eagle watching. We hope. Gosh, I hope they're around.
In Illinois.
Yeah, that's they don't cross the river. Yes, they do. It's coming up on Second Amendment Radio on The Great Outdoors.
I'm your home.
That Carl Middleman, I tell you what.
They were asking me, all right, what Eagles song are you going to play? I'm like, no.
You're so thoughtful, Carl.
Mark loves the Sammy Hagar.
Sammy Hagar is one of my top three or four, so he plays it a lot. I love it. Isn't that great?
What a perfect song.
It really is. And Stephanie Tate is joining us right now as we talk about Eagles, and they're out and they're along the river and they love the ice flows and all that great stuff. Stephanie, welcome into the show.
Well, thank you very much. We're really excited to be here and talk about Eagle season.
And I should mention, you are the Marketing and Communications Director for Great Rivers and the Routes Tourism Bureau over there in Alton.
I sure am. We represent, you know, six counties in Southwest Illinois, and we are really the hub of eagle watching in the winter.
And how has it been so far this season? Because it seems like it was really warm through the December. And I watch Unashamed with the Robertson clan down in Louisiana. And their duck arrival was delayed. And they were talking about the temperatures and everything. That has a lot mm-hmm. to do with it, doesn't it?
You know, it really does, but ironically, this year, we've seen more eagles earlier than we had in the last couple of years.
Whoa.
And I think that's because it got cold up north, which is where they come from, sooner than it has in the past. And as it gets colder and colder, it pushes them further and further south. So eagles are a little different than your average migrating birds because they are absolutely impacted by cold weather in the north.
And do they make it to the Gulf? Are we just a rest area for them, or is this their stopping point?
You know, they might go just a little further south, just a little bit south of St. Louis, but that's it. Basically, eagles follow the open waters. And as the waters freeze up, you know, along the Mississippi in Minnesota and Iowa and Wisconsin, they keep moving south. And they'll pretty much stay here because our rivers do not freeze over. You know, we do get the ice floes, which they love because they can sit on the ice floes and fish. You know, they're kind of lazy birds in a way, but
what?
They do not go much further south.
Like the Great Resignation.
Yeah, we didn't know we had that much in common with eagles, did we, Bo?
Yeah,
we're lazy.
Just kidding. So what are some good spots for people to, you know, that Missouri or Illinoisans want to go and see eagles? I went up there several years ago. I didn't find a one, and I was at a parking area, and I got out of my truck, and I'm looking around. I'm like, man, I look right above me, and there's this nest that's about 8 foot wide, and that's where they were. They were right above my vehicle.
That's awesome.
So where do people go?
The best places to go are where the rivers are being churned up, and that would be like the Melvin Price Locks and Dam in Alton.
Mm-hmm.
They love the Locks and Dam because as the towboats and barges go through, it churns the water up and brings the fish to the surface. So it's easy pickings for them. You can also just drive along the river road between Alton and Grafton, and you can see dozens of eagles. You can look up in the trees on the bluffs and see them, or look on the river, and honestly, that's where I've seen the most of them, is on the river, sitting on the ice and fishing. Brussels Ferry, north of Grafton, is another good place because, again, the ferry churns up the water and keeps the eagles fed. Or you could go to Pere Marquette State Park, and they've seen up to 35 eagles throughout the park this winter already. And I think that number is just going to climb.
Right. Well, I know it may not be comfortable when it's 7 degrees outside, but they've got some great trails there at Pere Marquette where you can climb up almost on the bluffs.
Oh, yeah.
I'm assuming those are open in the winter, right?
They are. They are open year-round, you know, unless that we get a really bad snowstorm or ice storm, then they will close the road just because for safety. But right now they are absolutely open. And yeah, it's a little cold, but the eagles don't care.
Yeah.
And this is great eagle watching weather.
And hopefully you have heat that works in your vehicle when you are out. Oh, not when you're hiking, but you get those toe warmers. Well, you could do that,
Pere Marquette also has like rooms that you can rent for like about $100.
Oh, wow. Yeah, I've been.
They do, and they have an eagle watcher special. So you can get an extra discount and do your eagle watching at Pere Marquette Lodge and State Park.
Yeah. Stephanie, the Marketing and Communications Director of the Great Rivers and Routes Tourism Board, Bureau of Alton, is our guest. How long have you been in that position, and how long are you from the area of the eagle watching capital of the world?
Well, I've been in the eagle watching capital of the world about 10 years, and I'm a transplant, but I'm absolutely love it. I've been in my job for 9 years.
Good for you.
And, you know, I cannot tell you, I've lived all over the country, and there is no more beautiful drive than the Great River Road between Alton and Grafton. It's just awesome. Every day, every time, every season of the year, it's one of the most spectacular drives you can take.
Have you spotted any piesaw birds this year?
You know, I've seen a couple on the bluff wall.
Is that a thing?
That's about it.
It is. They've got a drawing.
That's their drawing.
Oh, the drawing on the wall up there. That's good. Sorry. Threw Bo for a curveball there. Yeah.
I've never heard that.
Yeah, I wonder about that, Stephanie, because I know that people, obviously, who've been over there a lot are familiar with a lot of the things that Alton has to offer. How big of a draw from a tourism standpoint is this for you guys?
Eagle watching, we bring in thousands of eagle watchers every year. Last year was a little different because of COVID, but people still came out because they could do it outside. They could do it on their own. And they could see eagles, so they weren't in big crowds. And that's one of the beauties of eagle watching is you're not around a lot of other people. You can do it on your own. We have some guided tours you can take. But for the most part, it's a really nice social distanced activity for people right now. And typically, eagle season, we can bring in 10 to 15,000 people between January 1st and February 28th, which is what we consider eagle season. It's a nice post-holiday activity for people in the middle of winter.
Yeah, that's fantastic. So on the guided tours, what do those cost?
We have some shuttle tours that we offer on Saturdays in January. Unfortunately, they are now sold out. The ones in Alton are $10, and that's for a 45-minute guided shuttle tour. And then we have ones in Grafton on Saturdays, and those are $23, but that's a two-hour tour.
Okay.
So it's a little more, but you see more, too.
So you got to book those. How far out do you need to book those, then, if they're sold out already?
Well, usually they book up the 1st of January. We start promoting them prior to Christmas. People love it because it gives them eagle watching hotspots that they can then hop in their cars when the tour is over and go look for themselves. And so we're kind of giving them a little, you know, boost in their eagle watching activities.
We also
have an Eagle Watchers Passport. It's a mobile passport that you can download for free, and it gives you the top 10 eagle watching spots in our region.
I got it.
And if you visit 5 of those, you're automatically entered to win an overnight stay this summer. So come in the winter, and then we'll reward you in the summer.
It's like Christmas morning on for Carl over here.
Wow. I downloaded it yesterday.
Oh, did you?
And I said, because I'm going up there this weekend. Bo and I, we were talking about this the other day. I'm like, oh, we don't have anybody for the outdoor part of the show. And Bo's like, well, what's going on? I said, oh, my wife wants to take me eagle watching. He's like, perfect. Call over in Illinois. And
that's
this is
what
why
we have.
Stephanie's here.
I do want to point out, Stephanie, this is Second Amendment Radio in the Great Outdoors, and you did mention January 1 to February 28th is eagle season. Hunters, that doesn't mean hunting season for eagles.
No.
Just to put it out there.
They're protected.
No, they are a protected bird. You do not do that.
No, but I do have a question, though. Since you've been in this role for 9 years, you say, what are some of the countries that people have visited have come straight to your area that have let you know that, hey, we came from where to see the eagles?
Well, in the winter, from countries from outside the U.S., in the winter, we've had some people like from France. We have hosted some people, I'm trying to think, from Spain in the winter. And they'll stop at the visitor center in Alton and say, you know, hey, we're from such and such a country. And where can we go eagle watching? Most of our international travelers come in the spring and summer and fall. Winter is not a big time for international. It's more of a draw for people within, you know, the Midwest.
Yeah, oh yeah. No, and I enjoy sitting in my house, my warm house by the fireplace, looking at the birds outside in the outside, you know, out the window where I'm toasting my PJs. But I was curious. I didn't know. But France and Spain, that's pretty cool that people come here for that.
It is. It is. And, you know, in the spring, we will get a lot of international people. They will have bikes, and they will ride from the headwaters of the Mississippi and Minnesota all the way down to the Gulf in Louisiana. So they love their bikes.
I bet they do.
And they will bring them and do it here.
Stephanie, what's your best advice then? So for people, they can't book the tour, obviously. They want to come over this weekend. Can they download? Can they print maps off your website?
They can, and they can download our Eagle Watching mobile passport. That's going to be your best bet, and that will give you all the hot spots. And we actually have some videos on there that kind of highlight the different areas. And, you know, it's a fun little mobile passport. You can get that at riversandroutes.com and search for our Eagle Watching passport, and you can download it from there.
Well, I'll tell you what, for those listening right now to Second Amendment Radio on the Great Outdoors, this is right in our backyard, and we have such a great opportunity to witness and to see what these beautiful birds do, and so the American bald eagle is represented well in our area, Americans. So, Stephanie, thank you so much for joining us. It was a pleasure talking to you, and thanks for all the information.
Thank you, and enjoy your eagle watching. I hope to meet you guys soon.
All right. Well, maybe we'll come by the visitor center to find you.
Absolutely. Yeah. Stephanie, thank you.
There you go. Thank you.
Right. You bet.
See,
all
we're
right.
just trying to get people out of the house. That's all we're trying to do. Good stuff.
Carl's already got this set up. He's probably meeting her over there. And he's getting a free tour.
No,
we know what's going on.
No,
come on.
I wish I would have known about it beforehand. But now I'm going to next year.
Right.
Well, because my wife said, "Oh, let's go eagle watching." I'm like, "Whatever."
So is this like a date? This would be a date, right?
No, my daughter's going off to college in the fall, so my wife has all these lists of things that she wants to do before she goes away.
Funtivities. That's it. Mm-hmm. That's nice, though. You'll get to spend time with the whole fam.
Gentlemen.
Driving all the way up.
I have a new rule.
Yeah.
If my wife is riding shotgun with me, doesn't matter if we're going to get gas or going shopping.
It's a date. Count.
It does.
Book it, Dano.
You're welcome.
Good stuff. Hey, thanks for joining us on this segment for Second Amendment Radio, The Great Outdoors. I'm Mark Cox. That's Bo Matthews. That's Carl Middleman.
Pew, pew.
Have a great weekend. We will see you around here next week. Download the podcast.
See you, boys.
Get more at 971talk.com.